Blog Talk Radio.
Life, love, and wellness.
Greetings and welcome to Truthful Tuesdays right here on Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. I am Sandy Rogers, and I get to be your hostess for tonight, and that just excites me because every week, every Tuesday, man, I look forward to it like a small child expecting a gift or a present, you know, because I have the absolute best experts that come on and share so freely and wonderfully with the audience that it's just amazing that these individuals have this type of time to share their stories and their all that they have to share with the world. But before we get to the show, there's always a couple of things that we do in order to get ourselves in alignment. And the first thing that we do is we always pay tribute and give thanks to our ancestors. Our ancestors are always with us, ready to help from another dimension that we really don't know about, but they're ready to assist us in anything that we need help with. They're just waiting. They have more energy, more power. It appears from that other plane where they are than when they were here in the physical. So ancestors, for all that you do for us, for all the love and all the strength and the tenacity that you give us and demonstrate to us, we just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. Ashe. And the next thing we do is go into our affirmative reading, which anchors us. You know, it allows us to just kind of let go of some of the things that we've been doing, rushing from here to there, making sure that we call in tonight for the show. And thank you, or being on the computer, I thank you. But this comes from my contribution to the world, and it's actually a daily inspirational message. And you can read those at revsandy.wordpress.com. And if you subscribe, they'll come to your email directly every day, and you don't have to go looking for it. So normally I just do a small portion, but I'll explain the reason why I'm reading the whole entry for today. So it's called Signs. This story was shared with me in sincerity and wonder of how God gives us signs all the time. It is up to us to recognize them. There was this building which had several trees in the surrounding yard. One was recognized as needing to be cut down. It was not a priority and something that the inhabitants of the building said they would get to someday. And they kept putting it off. That is until one day when the rains came and caused the tree to fall upon the lines running directly to the building. The tree was rotted and the potential danger had been seen, just not acted upon. All power to the building was disrupted. The lesson that became very obvious for the storyteller is that is exactly how God does with us. God gives us warning signs, tells us things have become rotten, can be dangerous, yet we ignore the signs. then one day our power is pulled. We can no longer call upon the power that once was available to us. What are you ignoring that requires your attention today? How is your prayer line, your communication with infinite source? Are you staying connected through deliberate prayer and meditation? Are you permitting other things to interfere with your connection to the Most High? Do not allow the storms of life to come along, uproot, and unplug you. Have an emergency plan that prevents you from losing all power. Keep that plan in action. To memory, an emergency plan that always works is constant prayers of thanksgiving. And again, you can find that at RevSandy.wordpress.com. And that story behind that particular piece was that was actually a conversation between me and my brother, William, who is our guest speaker tonight. So it just kind of all run in, you know, synchronistic patterns. You know, we don't even know, but the Spirit does. Allah knows, and he lines everything up for us. So with that being said, I know we're going to have an incredible show tonight. So it's all about life, it's all about love, and it's all about wellness. Tonight's show is called Relationship with Self, Introspection, and it features my older brother, William Safier, and I'm so excited to be bringing him online with you. But audience, before we get started, you're invited to join in the discussion. All comments are welcomed, and our intention is that every voice shall be heard. You can call in if you're not already done so at 516-531-9819. And to speak live on air with us, you would just push 1 on your dial, and that will alert us that you want to speak on air with us. Now, you can listen to any of the shows at our rebroadcast, and you can do that at www.blogtalkradio.com/Sandy Rogers. That's S-A-N-D-Y. R-O-D-G-E-R-S. The only thing that I would ask of you, please, is that if your line is open for a comment or a question that you have, if you're not speaking, if you would mute your phone, that would allow for us to have the best quality playback. A lot of our regular listeners, they listen to it over and over again, or they'll listen to it the next time. So I appreciate you for doing that. And we're going to get to the music, and then when we finish playing that, we're going to come back and get started with my brother. And I know he's got a lot to share tonight. I'm just so excited that he has made some time in his busy schedule to be with us and share with us tonight. We'll be right back. Thank you for listening to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show.
I don't wish no more. No, no. No, I wanna. No, I coulda. No, I shoulda. No, I don't wish no more.
Every day I wake up and I pray, oh Lord, I thank you. This is my day, it's my day to create. My life exactly as I desire for it to be. I meditate on love and peace. I meditate knowing your will is my will. So I don't wish no more.
I don't wish no more. I don't wish no more. I don't wish no more. No, I woulda. No, I coulda.
have joy, love, and sweet peace. I live a great life. I am co-creator with God. I enjoy wonders.
All right, this is a family show tonight. I just wanted to let you guys know that that particular song there, I wrote the words, and my nephew, our nephew, William and I, Anthony A.K. King, produced that. And so I'm so proud of that, and it helps to bring about what we're talking about tonight as far as the relationship with ourself, introspection. So welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. Once again, if you would like to chat on air with us, have any questions, comments, or concern, our call-in number here is 516-531-9819, and you would just press 1 on your dial to let us know you want to speak live on air. And that is the only way that you can speak live on air with us, is to call in case you're using another device. So thank you for being with us. So let me tell you a little bit about the show, and then I'm going to bring William to the microphone, and we're just going to take it from there. So tonight is called Relationship with Yourself, or Relationship with Self, Introspection. As a lifelong learner, my older brother, William Saphir, is and has always analyzed and going deeper and deeper into what makes us human tick. Why do we do what we do is a frequent question he has. He brings us questions with answers on tonight's show. His credits are numerous: a National Merit Scholar, a National Rhodes Scholar candidate, to being an author, a filmmaker, and especially homeschooling his 7 children with remarkable results. We will cover the basics, the full spectrum of our very personal relationship with ourself. For instance, self as it connects with everything in the environment. What is our purpose or role? How does the self fit in the flow of life? And how do we communicate that to ourself? deep thinking required. So be prepared, come prepared to do some serious thinking and retrospection along with introspection. Where do we begin? Where do I see myself getting there? Or how do I see myself getting there? Both are good questions. So, Brother Saphir.
Sandy.
Hey, big brother.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's indeed my pleasure. You know, we talk all the time. It's a rare opportunity. We have an opportunity to share with people that we care about and people that are on the same path that we're on. So this is one of those special blessings tonight. So I'm excited and very grateful to have this opportunity.
Excellent. All right, and where do we get started?
Well, the song and the intro that you gave, AK's song and the intro that you gave, it's a good place. But I just want to officially and just want to open and start the conversation by just acknowledging being in the presence and with the permission and approval of the Source Creator, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer. And there are many ways, you know, that people like to relate to that I don't want to use the language that being, because it gives another impression, but to the highest source, the highest thing, the highest idea, the highest perception, really that's beyond all description that we can possibly give to it. But we'll just settle for now, Source Creator. There are many names that's given to that one, God, Allah, Jehovah, Yahweh, and the list goes on, beautiful names. But they're all referring to the one that from which everything emanated, everything came from, mm-hmm. and everything exists through and everything returns to. So just to make that clear, whatever name or description or word that's used, we're all talking about the same thing. That's the best place to start. And, you know, especially when we're talking about relationship with self. And you might say that, you know, if you're talking about self, you know, why start talking about the Source Creator? Some of us have been given perceptions of just what that means to check in like that. But I found over my 74 years of experiencing this thing that we call life, that whenever I have an issue or a problem or a concern, if I take the time to check in on my highest and deepest level first, before I try to tackle anything, I always have the best result. So I think that's the best place to start, right there. Sandy, you know that in our upbringing, being in a community that was very rough, to say the least, you know, and not a community that necessarily was given to introspection, was not necessarily given to God consciousness per se, but we were so we were in such a state of, what can we call it? Some would call it oppression.
Survival.
Summer, survival, there you go. I like that. Survival. Some would call it poverty back then. Some call the neighborhood or community itself, call it the ghetto. Now they call it the hood. Yeah. But whatever description or group of words you use to describe the kind of environment that we were in, it wasn't one that would be considered a forward-moving, thinking, a professional, a productive environment, you know, at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I know what this certainly did for me, and I recall that, as you know, I think you were around 10, I was around 12 at that time. We had these kind of conversations, and the things that was happening around us, and at that time we saw it as happening even to us. The things that were happening around us, the things that were happening to all of our friends and our family and everyone in the environment that we are part of there in South Central Los Angeles called Watts, that those things laid so heavily on our hearts, on our spirits, and on our minds that it did begin this process of what we're talking about tonight, this process of looking deep within, introspection,
mm-hmm.
you know. But we weren't necessarily looking within at the beginning. We were looking at all the problems that we saw around us, you know.
Exactly, yeah.
And there were so many, though. There were so many. I learned later, much later, there was what's called some cardinal questions, you know, basic questions, in other words. You know, the who, what, when, where, why, how, those basic questions like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned later, as a matter of fact, it was much later when I was in the environment learning under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, much later in my development. He's the one that directed us. I was one of his ministers. He directed us to entertain those basic cardinal questions like that when we make a presentation. And that really, really kind of started directing my questioning and my thinking. And he said, once you open the door, and that's what those questions do, and you close that door, then, you know, you don't leave any room for anybody else to come in. And we were doing that as children. You know, I know I used to sit on our front porch, Sandy, and watch the prostitutes and their pimps pull up and do whatever they do half a block down from where we lived, and the winos and the gambling and the drugs and all of the rest we could see right from our front yard, our front porch, and you could look at that and question, you know, why, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that being done to us? Why do we do that to ourselves, you know?
Right,
Why, you know, and it weighed on me heavily, and I think it did you too, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I did a lot of writing about that too.
Yes, indeed. So that was the start. Didn't know it was introspection back then, because I was questioning why were other people doing it to us. I saw it as outside forces happening to us. You know, but couldn't figure out why. You know, so I guess that was the first question that we started raising. But when you get into the other questions, the who, the what, the when, you know, the where, you know, and even the how, now then you start seeing a bigger and a more rounded picture, and that's what happened when we decided to start responding to the things that we saw around us that we didn't like. And we did that. We formed an organization called the Student Committee for Improvement in Watts. And we were just kids. We didn't really feel that we were directed, but we were being directed by forces much, much bigger than us. And but the questioning that that we entertain, you know, the more we question, the more we were granted guidance and direction, you know, and we dug deep. We dug deep, and all the things we didn't like, you know, the trash and the dirt in the streets, lack of decent employment and education, and the lack of respect that we saw for our ethnic group, and the things that we just didn't like. We talked about it. We were looking at all again from what's happening to us from the outside, you know. And I'm sure you recall that we did that so much. We raised so many questions until, looking back now, I think that's one of the things that contributed, one of the big factors that contributed to so much pressure being brought to the consciousness of the community until it literally exploded, imploded. And next thing we knew, in 1965, we started out around 61.
Right.
And by the time we raised the consciousness to a level in the community, people couldn't handle facing the problem, you know. And that's probably what led to, if not, I don't think the start of the Watts riots in 65, but it definitely, I'm sure, played on people feeling the pressure, and we literally, as a community, we almost burned the whole thing down. You know, and the fire, there were signs that were mentioned in AK's song. And in your piece that your daily message that you read, but those signs on the outside, the things that were happening, the fire that burned down quite a bit of our neighborhood back then. There was a fire that was burning inside of us, you know, frustration, desperation, and anger, and all those negative qualities, and those negative emotions that were. But there was something else happening. There was something else happening on a deeper level that I know I certainly couldn't see until much, much later. But all of that led eventually in my later years to a point where, you know, fast forward, got involved in the Black Power movement after I left Los Angeles, went to school, didn't graduate. My concern wasn't in academics. You know, I went there because I was a pretty good student, you know, and I left California, went to Ohio, and that collegiate environment, and there were some other minds like mine that had been attracted from different parts of the country that were also overly concerned, very concerned about the conditions of our people. Which was always my main concern in my life, you know, that just about doing something to lift our people up. And with the type of answers that we had going forth at that time, there were very few, as a matter of fact, we heard a voice. Problem was with this one ethnic group, and that ethnic group didn't look like us. And they were ruling the country. So there was things that were going on. I was in the Midwest, but there was things going on, especially in the South. The civil rights movement was still moving at that time, the early 60s. The Black Power movement was trying to get a hold, and that started reverberating through the African-American colleges and universities throughout the country, and it really took root with us, and so we immediately went in again trying to get a handle on the situation, still looking at the forces and the causes from without. You know, we were still looking at what people was doing to us.
Right.
But
right.
That's where we were in our development. Yeah. So we looked at we looked at the government. You know, we looked at the whole economic system. We looked at the military system. They call it the industrial military complex back then. We looked at the living environments that we all came from different parts of the world. We had people from Chicago, Los Angeles, New York, from Pennsylvania, from Pittsburgh, from all over. But same kind of conditions all over. So we were responding to that. But still it was what people were doing to us as opposed to really, really looking and see what was going on internally. Fast forward, met my beautiful wife, and both of us were integral, and she was still a teenager at the time, but both of us were still integral, I should say, in starting a private school. It's called the University of Islam there in Cincinnati. I was, I mentioned earlier, I was minister for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad right there in Dayton, Ohio. I was still in school, still a student in school, and taking a lot of responsibility. But again, I was still looking what was happening to us from the outside, you know. But that started my journey as a minister under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, studying the conditions of our people. And after, it wasn't long, 2 years teaching, working as a minister, teaching in the school system, helping develop that school, we got married and started, of course, having children. And we left Cincinnati and went back to Los Angeles. We had two children at the time. Fast forward, four children later, and that's kind of how I keep count. We had things had deteriorated in Los Angeles, where the school had evolved. It had changed. It was no longer the University of Islam under Elijah Muhammad. He had passed in 1975. Imam W.D. Muhammad came into the leadership, was selected to come into the leadership by the body at the time. And the school became the Sister Clara Muhammad school system. But, again, the things that were happening on the outside of the community and outside of our neighborhood start creeping into the school environment. And I didn't like that. The gang activity and all of that was beginning to creep into the school environment. So my wife and I decided to homeschool. We started homeschooling then. And that was, I think, really when the introspection started taking shape. Being married, having children, still working. You can recall, Fanny, we had the cultural activities going. We had the Community and Cultural Development Association where we were doing things, trying to create an environment of decent entertainment for ourselves, of cultural options for ourselves, and that's kind of what spun off our nephew, Anthony A.K. King, and kind of spurred his development. My involvement in music and the interest and the concern with rhythm and entertainment and the positive effects of that. We were doing that. We also had to, we were concerned on the economic front, as well as on the governmental, the social front, working with Councilman Farrell's office. I worked for him for a period of time, helping to develop the governmental side of community seeking that kind of support to help bring some answers to the problem. And economically, we started farming up in the Palmdale and Lancaster area. And so we got and remember, Sandy, when we were kids, we had gardens going all the time.
For real, yeah. Garden and animals.
And animals, that's true. We went right there and watched. We found a way, you know. All that was preparing us for the work that we're doing today, you know, the farming, the gardening, working with the livestock or the animals. Although we were born and raised in that city environment, we were being prepared going back periodically to the South, to Louisiana, and by doing those things, it was preparing us for this topic that we're talking about today. All of those experiences, you know, trying to develop the best living environment for our families, and I guess that took the responsibility. My wife and I took the responsibility to homeschool our own children. So we ended up homeschooling all seven of our children, and was a big, big responsibility. But we were blessed to make it work, and with all of that responsibility on me, I really had to start looking deeper and deeper and deeper, because all the things that we were doing, we were seeing some results, some forward progress, but not the kind that really satisfied our souls, you know. And you were doing things, I was doing things. You were very active on the business front, writing, and I was doing some of the similar kinds of things, but that urge that was in us wasn't quite being satisfied. So I began very seriously. Well, by that time we had moved to left Los Angeles. The gang activity got to be too vicious and too close to home, so I had to uproot my family and travel to Texas, where we spent about 27 years there. Where we finished raising the family, finished our homeschooling experience, children went to college, and finally got on their own. So with all of that responsibility and not having the fulfillment that my soul was yearning for, I started looking within more and more and more and more, and said, you know what, I have to develop myself and take whatever I see of problems on the outside, whether I see it in my children and my wife and my siblings and my relatives and my neighbors and the other people that were involved in spiritual development that I was close to. Instead of looking at all of those problems and trying to relate to those, I said, you know what, I have to correct those problems that I'm seeing on the outside. The best influence I could have on those problems that I'm seeing on the outside is by correcting those problems or focusing on eliminating or raising my consciousness about those things within myself.
Right.
So I had to kind of share that journey to see how this whole thing came about, you know. And
right.
I think we all have different paths, but I think if we look at our whole life story, then it will tell us what we need to focus on within ourselves. And
we
the
have
more
one...
we go
okay.
ahead, Sandy.
No, we have a caller. We got a couple of callers because there were some questions I had that came up for me, some statements during what you were saying. But I want to catch these two callers first, okay?
Good. Sounds good.
So, all righty. Our first caller is 214-370. You want to give us your name and your comment or question, please?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Loud and clear.
Okay. Wally Udine, Dul Sabir. First, I want to thank you both for such an excellent topic and a very presentation so far. I met William in Texas, and we had the opportunity to spend some time together. And I knew some of the story, but, I didn't realize we have traveled very similar paths. But my question is that, as you know, William, as a writer, I'm a writer as well. And one of the things in my most recent book, I was really and talking about this very, very important subject, a relationship, and particularly a relationship with yourself. What I've discovered that through those experiences, like you have shared, in your life and then in your family life, one of the things that is difficult for a lot of people, and I know, in my journey, coming to understand through those experiences your why. Are you here? Why am I here? Can you speak to that and how, because I think that journey, and as you were expressing about that level of uncomfort that you had really was on a path for you to discover your why. Why are you here? So would you speak to that in this journey of relationship with self?
Yes, certainly. Matter of fact, I was on a call in a three-way conversation just earlier today, and I was sharing, and I tried to visualize what you're asking for right now in a brief statement, and it came out like this. What I found out for myself was that my why, looking at my whole life experience, came out to be being a person that's focused on taking knowledge, taking information, and finding a way to make it work, But it took me a long time to really come to that point to actually see that clearly, Others kind of saw it in me, and some thought it was a put-down. When I was right there in Fort Worth, Wally, you may have heard it said, but we had a cadre of imams that were very scholarly, and thought they were anyway, I'll put it that way. And they had made some headway in learning the Arabic language, more so than most. And one of them saw as a put down, he used to call me the practical imam. And I took it, especially if I thought about it, as a badge of honor, to take this information's revelation that we've been blessed with, and then find a way to use it practically in our lives. Yes. To answer your question generally, Sandy and I spent a lot of time. I mean, especially Sandy. I mean, asking questions from our relatives, especially the elder relatives. Going and digging up records and family records, going to grave sites in the cemeteries, trying to pull we had all kinds of questions about our families. There was a lot of secrets, the families were keeping. Anyway, we were able to put together a pretty good picture before my dad passed of just what kind of life and experience preceded us, from our parents and our grandparents And so that kind of gave us some kind of feel for what was in us. We looked at the good, the bad, and the ugly, and started looking closer and closer at that. So that kind of showed a direction and what they were good at, what they were not so good at, the kind of skills they had, how they related to things, how they related to each other, what kind of communication skills they had, all those kinds of things we started looking at. And so looking at that and then looking at my own life and just kind of stepping back from it and thinking about the whole thing, again, the good, the bad, and the ugly, including all of it, your story, if you look at it and stand back away from it for a minute and get some perspective on it, your why will become obvious. It'll jump out at you and say, wow. there's a thread there. Everything in this creation is being directed. And we make choices, but you make choices based upon the things that are the environment that you're in. So we have direction, and we're always being divinely directed. So the why is always with us. We just have to step back far enough to see it. So that's my answer to that.
Thank you.
I hope it satisfies. Okay, sure.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
We appreciate your calling in. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Our next caller is area code 334-419. Would you give us your name and your comments, please?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you very much. And greetings of peace to you both and to the audience. My name is Michael Hameen. I'm in Jacksonville, Florida, and I'm a colleague of your brother. And even though we haven't met physically or personally, but I want to share an experience. Excuse me. At 20 years old, a handyman working at my mother's house decided to take a break. And as he was doing so, he asked me the question, would I like to know the secret of life? And I've always been interested in what older people had to say, and now I've become one. And he says, the secret of life is knowing what you can do without. Now, I didn't reject that. I put it away. It was a little much for me to, at 20, you're living your life. You're not really. But I knew not to just throw away what an older person had. I know he had given some thought to what he was telling me, and it was very succinct. And I'm sharing that in terms of there is a, how would I put it? A philosophical approach in classical religion that points us to establishing priorities. Succinctly in al-Islam, or the Islam from the Quranic perspective, God is greater. And it points to scripturally and in nature and in human history, this idea of us being gifted by the Creator with making comparisons and contrasts. This is something we do all the time. This is something that leads us to more and more insight. And lastly, I just wanted to share in your thoughts of how the dynamics of human life, coming into the world and being helpless and having to be cared for, that circumstance that we all go through coming into this world points to the focus, whether we are religiously inclined or not, that we owe a debt to life. And I'd like to hear your thoughts on that, Sandy and William, in terms of what we're dealing with now. There never was a Negro or a nigger until chattel slavery. And that experience has conditioned us, and we question, well, why? Why can't we? You know, why won't we? Well, you know, you had a conditioning of a clinical experience designed to cause dysfunction in the vital areas of our life. So mm-hmm. we were conditioned to serve other people's interests and not our own. And by the grace of the Creator, we've come to a point now where this human dynamic that many of us feel maybe more so than others in terms of, there's something in me that, you know, I can't kill it with a sandwich or a new set of clothes or new shoes. It's something in my soul that says, you know, I've got to do something. You know, and I'd like to hear your comments. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Michael.
Yes.
And as you stated your question, that do we owe a debt to life? Very interesting, because as William was sharing earlier, I was looking at it from a standpoint, we talk to ourselves more than we do anything else. You know, we're usually not so positive words. And sometimes we'll say, well, we're doing that to encourage ourselves to do better. And that could be the situation. But when, like you were saying, we have such a conditioned and almost destructive frame of reference as to our self-worth, then that self-talk is going to be, ooh, wow, just all out of alignment, you know, with that the proper stance or the proper work that we have as being an offspring
yeah.
from the source creator, you know. So
yeah.
I like that. And when you said, oh, a debt to life, you know, that was kind of, but like William was saying earlier, we're all a part of nature. And nature dies to give life. So as we look at that and use that as our example, then in a way, you know, choice of words, but still works. Yes, we do owe a debt to life, because we must give in order to continue to receive what we've been given. So excellent, excellent question. And I like your viewpoint on that. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yes, and I would have to concur with Sandy. You know, it's life is about giving. You know, and I think the more we learn that, that's what these 74 years have taught me. You know, the receiving comes, but the receiving comes as a result of our giving. You know, and talking about introspection, the deeper you look, the more. That will present itself as a factor, and even in terms of this concept of owing or having a debt to life, you know, it's in our nature to give, to share. That's the process of growth, you know. It's a sharing process, you know. And the more you give, in fact, the more you will receive.
That's right.
The more, yeah. And see, it's like we're told in Scripture, you know, that right begets right. You know, what could you expect from right, but or good, but more good. You know, it's just so the more you give, you can't outgive the Creator. And so, the more you give, this universe has this principle built into the fabric of it. The more you give, the more the universe is going to respond. It was created like that by the Creator. So the more you give to it, give to others, give to the whole of life, especially the human life, the more you give to that, the more you're going to receive. So I think that's just part of our nature.
Yes, I agree. Thank you.
And you're welcome. Thank you.
So, William, Michael brought up a good point, and it was one of the things I was going to make a statement on earlier as you were talking about I'm going to call our thinking rebellious only because we didn't fit in to the the role that everybody would like for children to have, and that is to be seen and not heard. So, you know, we did a lot of talking and people had to hear what we had to say, right? But what about, yeah. So what happens to those individuals that did not have that willpower in order to be rebellious or, you know, do it respectfully, of course, but, you know, that did not have a way to live out what they thought of themselves on a much higher plane than what they lived, which is, you know, pretty much what we did, you know, because
we
were in that situation during that era of time where, you know, our parents were just one generation from the plantation. And so, you know, they were conditioned with a mindset of, you know, you look down, you look away, you don't confront people, you know, directly with thoughts and, you know, actions and doing things like that. We didn't allow any of that to dissuade us from what we wanted to do. But what about the people that didn't have that, you know, for whatever reason, there's no, you know, there's nothing right or wrong about this. And there's so many individuals that are there, you know, in that spot where they don't have anyone that believes in them or anyone that they could talk to, because you and I talk to each other. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
even
true.
Now,
yeah.
You know, in a family of six children, you know, we're the two outcasts because we're so strange.
Yeah,
you know,
true.
Let everybody else tell us, you know. So, but what happens to that self-talk? I could just, that just came to my mind so heavily when you were speaking. Like, well, what about the ones that didn't have that? You know, that
wow.
Motivation, that inspiration, someone to say, yeah, you know, let's do it. What happens to that? And perhaps that's the reason why we have as much destruction within our communities and within our families as we do. You know, just a thought.
You know, Sandy, what came to mind, you may not remember this, but I shared with the listeners, Sandy. Remember, we had a stepfather had a truck and a camper on the back, and we used to go up.
Right.
We used to go out of town fishing.
Right.
And we used to travel from Los Angeles up to a lake called Lake Kachuma. I remember that like it was yesterday. And this, but one particular time, we took some of our friends. Most of our friends lived in the project, and we had a couple of them that traveled with us. And we were about—I think I was about 13 or 14, right around that age. And we were traveling. We left South Central LA, and we got on. It used to be called the Harbor Freeway. And we were traveling through downtown, getting ready to leave Los Angeles to go on our fishing trip. And so we were in the back of the camper. And we were looking out of the window. And one of them, I'll use his nickname. You and I know, but I don't think anybody else on the phone would pick it up. But Butch looked up and saw the city hall. He had never been downtown L.A. before. And he was 13, 14 years old, you know.
Yeah.
And so I think in our experience, we were fortunate enough, blessed enough to have more good information, more experiences, more to deal with, something that was stimulating our thinking, you know. And even though we rose to numbers, we had almost 300 youngsters at our height. And SCIFU and Student Committee for Improvement in Wise, if you recall.
But
when it started out, it was just a handful of it. It was just a few of
just
us,
a handful,
know?
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
But we kept questioning. What was that?
I was asking if my mic is still open.
Yes, sir.
May I?
Go, come on.
Make
come
a
on.
Contribution. You know,
sure.
It's getting back to that idea of debt, you know, and, you know, each one teach one. The obligation on us to help bring each other up, you know, and it's something that's innate in what the Creator, the Source Creator, has put in us, you know. And also, I'd like to point to a particular direction in the group soul of African Americans, and I'm only using myself because it happened to me. I had an aunt from South Carolina, was her origins, and she used to watch the children. We all lived in my grandmother's house at one time. We were three. She had three children. And my Aunt Jeanette had two boys, and they would wrestle with one another. And my Aunt Alma, who made this statement, she would watch us. And she says, well, Michael likes to climb the trees, you know. And then one day she said, you know, Michael's going to be a preacher. Look at his ears. Now, the reason I'm bringing that up in terms of something in the soul, the group soul of African-American people looking for help to get out of our condition. And we were looking
right.
for signs in the ears and what have you, you know, to see, Lord,
yeah.
where's our help? Who's going to help us, you know, from a, and they were looking to the group. You know, they were looking for signs in the group to get help. And I'll stop there.
Yeah. But you know, Michael, that's really. Well, let me just say this real quick, William, and then we got another caller too. But Michael, what you know, we needed something to hold on to in this world, and that's why your grandmother used something that you could capture. You know what I'm saying? Like you could hold on to. Oh, my ears. You know, my ears mean I'm gonna be. And so that gave you an uplifting in your spirit and in your self-value. And so that was one of those things that those elders did. And we don't do perhaps as much now as we did back then with helping to uplift the people by whatever, you know, comparison or characteristic that a child displayed. So you want to respond before I open up this?
Yeah, I do, because this is, I think, an important point in terms in looking at the difference in terms of how we were moved in our life experience to the work that we're doing now, and maybe as compared to some of the other people. I think the gardening piece, Sandy, engaging the natural environment. Like he mentioned the trees, you know, climbing the trees, but. We were exposed to raising our own food right there in the heart of Watts. We were exposed to raising our own food, and that was a regular thing that we did. We did it almost daily, you know.
I
think that was having an impact on us, a much bigger impact than we realized, you know, in terms of that natural holding to the natural kind of. Inclinations that are inherent for all human beings, but it was being nurtured in us, and we didn't even know it was happening.
Indeed. So I'm going to open up this other mic on 856-308. Would you give us your name and your comments, please?
Salamu alaikum. This is Habiba calling Edo Shahid, calling from Camden, New Jersey. This has been a beautiful conversation. I like this because this has covered what many of us have experienced in, like you said, trying to understand our why as far as our existence is concerned. Allah has given us the opportunity, our Source Creator has given us the opportunity to experience void and He gifted us to be chosen as those that can fill the void by what it is that he has placed in our lives, being the means of observance that we've been given. so that this way we not only raise ourselves, but we raise others with whatever knowledge it is that we absorb from what we have seen in everything in creation. The fact that we cling on to as much of our naturalness, like you said, as far as growing vegetables and raising animals, that'll be beneficial. Those are beneficial not only to self, but beneficial to others. And that's like looping inside of ourselves and bringing that loop externally so that this way we can share with others. And it's a constant. Just like the seeds that are in fruits and in vegetables. The green pepper, for one, that's a fruit that a lot of people call a vegetable, but it's got 100 seeds in just one pepper, you know, the green pepper. Those 100 seeds will make 100 plants, but then you get maybe like 7 peppers on each one of the plants. So that's another 700 that you're getting out of that, and the amount of seeds that you're getting out of that is like, what is it, 7,000 that you're getting out of that? So, you know, he's given us the opportunity to see that just like breath, it's all a rippling effect. The breath that we give out goes to the foliage, goes to the trees, goes to the vegetation, and then they reciprocate by breathing out that which we need. So he's showing us the opportunity to absorb and appreciate what it is that he is explaining to us as far as our his rule is concerned. His rule, he said that he breathed his rule into us, but the thing about it is it doesn't sound like it's a harsh word. So the R is a movement. The letter R is a movement letter. And it's not only movement outward, but it's a movement upward. So that means it's escalating. So we're constantly moving upward and forward. And that H is going like this. And it doesn't sound harsh. So that it's a softness, and it makes it so that it's the blend that we need to feel to flow through this existence called life. And each of us is playing a part, and each of us is a microcosm of that breath. So that is our why. We're filling that microcosm that may be missing, no matter what it is as far as our generation is concerned, as far as our community is concerned, as far as the knowledge that has been stripped away from us, the connection that we have with several others. We're the void that a lot of people that don't even realize that they're missing. And we're the filling piece in that puzzle. It's just like using like silly putty. You know how you squeeze it and you get an air bubble? We're filling that space. So, you know, in knowing that, and knowing that Allah has chosen us to be that, just like you all and Michael have said, you know, our place is to go ahead and constantly elevate one another. We were told when Imam W.D. Muhammad was still here, may Allah bless him with paradise, he said that, you know, we're supposed to raise each other. You see your brother or your sister down, be it your biological brother and sister or otherwise. You see them in a place where they don't have the knowledge that you have, then share it. Put it in conversation that they can appreciate, that they can relate to. So that this way it becomes a natural part of them, and they go ahead and they pass it forward and they share it with one another. So, you know, the continuum that we experience in our sharing is something that never dies, and it's always something that's worthwhile. Somewhere along the line, it's worthwhile. We may not ever see it, but it's worthwhile to somebody and to something, so that this way it can continue flowing throughout life and bringing things to the holiness that has been lacking for so long, you know, after, especially after going through the stripping that our people have experienced. And I don't like limiting it just to African Americans. We have our indigenous brothers and sisters that are here, that a lot of us have, we have the same blood running through our veins and don't know it, you know, because of certain things that were not shared with us. And it's a thing where we have to have as much interest in learning about what has gotten us to this point, so that this way we can continue rising and expanding in a beneficial way, and not be afraid of where we've come from, and not be afraid of where it is we're going, and realizing just how impacting we truly are.
Wow.
You know, this would be a good point. Habiba put that so clearly and so completely. I mean, there's nothing you can add to that or take away from it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But let me just say, for the sake of those who may be on the line, may be on the call listening, that she's a student in the Nunetics Institute, and it certainly shows in her in her expression and in her delivery and understanding, you know, and the way she explained our collective why. I mean, like, wow. I mean, what can you add to that, you know?
Right.
Yeah, but I just want to – yeah. No,
this is
one. What I'm thinking about, I don't want to miss this. For those of you who don't know, October 7th, 8th, and 9th, the founder of the Nunetics Institute will be in Atlanta. And for 3 days, and it will be a broadcast live stream. So if you want to take advantage of the kind of knowledge that will help you understand our collective role and our individual role in life, using this system of the scientific system of look knowledge, and that's what attracted me to it, the ability to be able to have the tools to look at knowledge, to take it apart and put it back together again, understand it when it was first brought into the human experience, the language that we use, and to be able to understand it at that level, and then be able to see how your life is being put together with words, and how you can affect to change the direction in your life by changing the words that you entertain consciously and subconsciously, and how that process works. That's what's being done. Work that's being done in Nunetics Institute. So this is good time. I just want to go ahead and put that expose the listening audience to that. Those who may not know. And I'll give you my contact information at the end here, so you contact me directly, and I in turn will, you know, direct you to that opportunity that I've accessed myself to. But again, knowledge that's not used is useless. Knowledge for knowledge's sake is useless in your life, you know. So the ability to take it, to take the knowledge, to look at your self individually and collectively, you know, as a family, as an ethnic group, as a nation, as a humanity, to be able to do that, and with the thought in mind, okay, now what can I do now and in the future? How can I take knowledge, this information, and use it to improve my quality of life moving forward? That's the bottom line, and that's what introspection will do for you.
Yes. I had a comment I wanted to make. If it's
sure.
Okay, great. What has been said so far, in along with your story, it reminds me of something that Imam Muhammad said way more than once. That is that we must be grounded in our own reality. Mm-hmm. And that grounding is really important for the proper flow of energy. And so we see is that when we can embrace our story, something that you alluded to, didn't really go into when I first mentioned the why, when we can embrace our story, you know, in truth, that gives us a grounding that allows for this flow, for us to unblock these centers that are stuck. And the people, like I think Sandy mentioned, what about those people that did not have that kind of exposure that you and your family were blessed to have, the gardening, the you know, the even the interaction to be able to really just talk about those experiences that you were having. All those things are so important. And so what, just to finish off this comment, I just wanted to say that along with what Habiba said, it's when we can really look at our story, tell our story, you know, the good, bad, the ugly of it, and that is what gives us the opportunity to eliminate, you know, those negative things and then embellish and build on those positive things. Thank you.
I love that, Wally.
Thank you.
Wally. And, mm-hmm. you know, we are actually in a process of putting together a podcast where we'll be doing just that. We will be having a platform where we can tell our story, our collective story, our individual story, and bringing that into the collective, of telling our collective story so that we can see and the world can see from our eyes, from our perspective, what that means in terms of our individual families, but our ethnic group. Those of us who have the same kind of commitment to life, who think alike, that collective story the world needs. We need it ourselves, and that's part of the whole process of introspection. That's what it's about. Let me just share one thing, because part of what we're looking at is looking at this month, Sandy, you're focusing on the males. The male aspect or part of a relationship. Let me just interject this piece before we bring this thing to a close. Problems in relationships, especially when we're talking about male-female, husband-wife kind of relationships, those problems can best be dealt with not when one party in the relationship is picking the other party apart and, you know, and identifying all of their problems, all their weaknesses, all of their mistakes. That will never get you anywhere. But I have found, over the years, I've been married about almost 50 years. The thing that has brought the most peace and progress has been when the two of us, my wife and I, and we had kind of trade off and have sometimes one of us do better than the other one in this process, but we make the effort to take responsibility for our actions. No matter what the agreement or disagreement is, if each one of us can take as much personal responsibility for what happened or what was said, now you have an opportunity to communicate. You know, and inside of that word, communicating, like community is unity, you know. So the two being able to operate as one, and that's what a family, that's the only way a family can make any kind of progress at all, is to come in an agreement, you know, and that allows you to move forward. So that process of communication operates best when both take, again, as much responsibility as possible. And you can take more and more responsibility for what happens, especially when you're at fault. Or you have the bigger part of the responsibility and the misunderstanding or the disagreement. That you can grow more and more and more in that, the more and more, the deeper and deeper you dig within yourself. When you get quiet by yourself and start asking questions about yourself, what's my role in this? What could I have done? What was my thinking process? Was I just reacting instinctively? Was I just being overly emotional? You know, did I think the thing through, or did I pull something, some old habit and behavior from the past into the present? You know, the more you look at that in terms of, you know, of making the relationship work, whether it's spouse to spouse or parents to children or friend to friend or neighbor to neighbor, same process, you're going to make the most forward movement when you look at self and question self in terms of my role in this thing, my contribution to it, or the degree to which I caused the difficulty or the problem. That's where the solution. George McKenna, my favorite teacher, I just did an interview with him. He used to always tell us back in the day that the answer to any problem is always in the problem. And when we're the problem in a communication, then you look for that answer inside of yourself. And once you get that, now you have to have the courage to face that, to deal with it, and to communicate that either to your spouse or the other party in the relationship, or if you can't do it with them initially, find somebody else. Fanny, that's why you and I, a lot of times, we'll just talk through stuff,
right.
You know.
Right,
and
right.
Then maybe we'll take
you
that
have your
back
own
to
answers.
The relationship. Yeah.
You have your you own do. Answers, and the person that's listening, they're basically just helping you to hear yourself talk, you know. So
that's right. That's,
yeah.
Absolutely.
We're not looking for answers
absolutely.
From someone else. Yeah. And then, you know, William, you made a point, and we are running out of time, but you were talking about relationships between two individuals and picking apart, you know, the villain, so to speak. In the, you know, like, I don't know what name to give them.
Right,
but, you know,
right.
That is it's not productive when we do that with ourselves either, you know, when we're doing that self-talk and, oh, well, Sandy, you know, you never was able to complete this and, you know, you didn't do that. And, you know, so why would you think something positive is going to happen now? And so those are the kind of things like with that relationship with self that we really, really
yeah.
need to work on and be able to recognize it and stop yourself. You know, you're not the misfit or the dumb butt that somebody called you. You know, you are a worthy, worthy individual. And when you can elevate yourself, talk about you, you come out and appear in the world differently. And so that's another one of those gifts that we would like to give you as well, you know, with this discussion, is have the healthiest relationship with yourself that you can have. And talk in empowering words to you. And then I want to make one other statement, and then I'm going to let you go ahead and close us out. You know, we were talking about the use of words and the application of words earlier and the power behind pneumatics and what Benjamin Bilal is going to be bringing to Atlanta. And I just wanted it, in case there are others, there are some of you on the line that's not really understanding what this is all about. It's like our language, right, dictates our experiences, but when we're not aware of the language that we're using, then we just use it and don't understand why our lives doesn't change. And so my two examples would be when you say good morning to someone, you really don't want to start your day in morning, right? M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. So you don't want, and that's what you're saying when you say that. So you might want to look at some of those words and change them around so that it indicates a more positive experience that you're wanting for the person that you're talking to. And then the other word that really kind of drives me crazy is diet. I don't want to refer to what I'm eating to prolong my life as a diet. No, you know, it could be a limit, but not a diet. So, you know, those are words, and we just use them. You know, nobody thinks about it. You know, it's just like, come on now, that's, you know, that's how we say it kind of deal. So, and that's the importance behind numetics, is breaking down what we don't realize what we're doing with the sounds and all of that, with the alphabet and the meanings behind the words. All right, so that's it for me, William. Go right ahead.
Awesome. Okay, love it, Sandy. And just in response to what you just said, right now at my level of my life, in terms of this process of introspection that I do almost daily, is that what Numetics has done for me is given me the tools to work with where I know, not guessing, not believing, I know that I have the ability to be able to direct my future, my life, that I can change whatever I want to change using the science of numetics, because it gives us the power of words, the maximum power that we can get out of words. That's how we get it. I just want to share that piece. And I want to end the way we began. And I think it brought us full cycle in order for us to have the proper image of who we are, what we are, which will tell us what our why is, then we, I think the best way to do that in this process of knowing self, speaking to self, looking into self, is to seek the guidance of the one who created us. I mean, to me, that's a no-brainer. That's just common sense, you know. The one who has the best knowledge of who we are and what we are is the one who put it in us, who created us from the beginning.
Exactly.
So I'm going to close on this. I went outside today. I went in my front yard, and I had my flip-flops on, the little rubber things. We used to call them thongs. They had all kind of names for them, the little rubber open shoes. But I had those on, and it was such a nice day out, middle of the day. I decided to take the shoes off and just walk around on the grass. And it was such a Sandy, it was such an amazing experience. I stayed out there for 15, 20 minutes, maybe half an hour, and I could actually feel, and I wasn't expecting this, I felt good. It was warm. The grass was warm. It was, you know, but the grounding was good, but I was not expecting the release of endorphins in my brain. I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
It was like I said, wow. Just walking in the grass, you know. So that contact, you know, seeking Creator's guidance and then grounding that in the creation that the Source Creator created by getting out in the natural environment, identifying with it, learning about it, walking in it, growing something, you know, that's the road for us. And I want to leave everybody with that, you know.
Indeed, that's perfect.
I can be reached. I can be reached. Let me give my number and my email address, because if you want more information about the activity coming up October 7th, 8th, and 9th, you can reach me at 817 817-857-8089. Again, that telephone number, 817-657-8089. My email address is wmsaafir@yahoo.com. Again, that email address, wmsaar@yahoo.com. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Sandy.
Oh,
thank
look,
you, both of you.
You're the one
thank
brought
you.
It. I appreciate you guys. Yes, yes. Oh, William, thank you so much, so much. And the callers that called and shared in the discussion, we appreciate you so much, Brother Waleed, Brother Michael, and Sis Habiba.
Yeah.
I'll be working on these names, you guys. But thank you for adding the flavor to the conversation tonight. It was so incredible. So I am Sandy Rogers, and I thank you for listening, for participating. And please remember, it's all about life, it's all about love, and it's all about wellness. So until next week, remain blessed, stay safe. And we continue with the theme of relationships next week. With our special guest, Dr. Q Harper, and he's going to talk about the role of a husband as his children were born with special needs. And it's going to be a very, very deep and emotional conversation. So please tune in, same time, 9 o'clock. And you got the login information. And thank you once again, everybody, for being with us tonight. And we'll see you next week.
Nice.
Bye,
thank you.
Yes.
Love you, too.
Thank you.
Thanks. Yep. Love you.